This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
It's 6:08. Welcome to Inside Story. I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Online sexual harassment has risen sharply during the pandemic. Over the last week alone, we've seen a 17-year-old girl getting numerous lewd remarks and harassment. So today, we're talking about what online sexual harassment is and how to deal with it. So first, we discuss the issue and why it's so often not taken seriously enough. And then, we look at ways to take action against online harassers. Finally, we hear from a social media personality who has been calling out sexual harassers on her platform. And we want to hear from you. Tell us, have you or someone you know been harassed online, and how did you deal with it? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:09 and you're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. So last week, 17-year-old Ayn Husniza, caused a quite a big stir by revealing on TikTok and Twitter that a male teacher had made rape jokes during a conversation about sexual harassment in a class in her school. We covered that earlier as well, but what we're talking about today is the subsequent response to some of her posts online and her talking about her experiences, because on Facebook, many people responding to her experiences and to stories of her complaint have in turn been using language and posting comments that openly are lewd, are sexually harassing in themselves. So for instance, on Facebook, many of the commenters some of whom even claim to be school teachers have been commenting about Ayn's body, about how she's dressed and making remarks about rape and talking about performing acts on women that are frankly shocking and unacceptable. But I think if you are by and large, a woman who operates in an online space, particularly on public platforms, a lot of the tone of this conversation wouldn't really be a surprise to you, because this isn't something that's new or coming out of nowhere. This is something that we see online happening on multiple platforms far too often. And the question then arises as to what is it particularly about the online platform that brings out this sort of behavior, and why is it never taken seriously enough? It's very often dismissed as being just comments or they were just making a joke, without realizing that they are actually talking about actual people, that they're targeting actual women with these comments. So just to look back at some of the other incidences of online sexual harassment that have happened, in May 2020, a 20-year-old woman in Penang allegedly took her own life after being bullied online over a TikTok video that she made with a colleague. Also last year in May, three Pakatan Harapan representatives called for reforms to address this issue. Those were Jamalia Jamaluddin, Lim Yi Wei, and Maria Chin Abdullah. And they talked about the fact that they received death threats, rape threats online. And if you look at statistics by AWAM, the All Women's Action Society, out of the calls that they receive related to sexual harassment, more than 40% of them involved online sexual harassment. And overall, there have been multiple reports talking about how even in the course of the last year, cases of online sexual harassment of women has almost doubled. Now, there are several things to talk about here, right? On the one hand, what is happening? What is the challenge in terms of addressing online sexual harassment? What causes it to happen in the first place? But also, why is it something that remains unaddressed? The online space isn't new to us anymore, and this has been happening for far too long. But secondly, what are the legal frameworks and the mechanisms in place for us to be able to deal with it? So these are some of the things that we will be talking about today. We will also be hearing from a social media personality, Sumitra Selvaraj, who has made a practice of calling out people who harass her and other women online on her social media platform. So that's today's conversation, online sexual harassment. And we want to hear from you. Have you or someone you know been harassed online? And how did you deal with it? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we will look at online sexual harassment as a whole and why dealing with it can prove so challenging. And we'll be joined by Amelia Sharif, Managing Partner at Speak Up Malaysia. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:16. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. We're talking about online sexual harassment following the recent spate of lewd comments and remarks targeted at 17-year-old Ain Husniza online. So we want to know your experiences. Have you or someone you know been harassed online? And how did you deal with it? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So first, we're going to look at online sexual harassment and the challenges when it comes to addressing it. And for that, joining us on the line, we have Amelia Sharif, Managing Partner at Speak Up Malaysia. Amelia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Sharmila.
So firstly, could you tell us what sorts of things constitute online sexual harassment?
First of all, it's important to acknowledge that be it online or offline, the definition of sexual harassment does not change. That means when it comes to identifying what would constitute sexual harassment, we would look at categories of sexual acts that are unwanted by the person who is at the receiving end. And these are, first of all, we know a category of act called quid pro quo. That means this act usually comes in the form of there is a clear expectation of sexual favors. That means there's an element of reciprocity there. For example, you want this promotion, you gotta sleep with me, you gotta have sex with me, you gotta go out, dinner, entertain me, and things like that. That's quid pro quo. The second category is something that we call as coercion. That means that there's no expectation of sexual favor per se. The person might not even be sexually or physically attracted to the person who is at the receiving end. However, the comments or the remarks that are made or even actions would create a situation that is threatening, that would be coercive to the person who is receiving it. But just because we categorize it as coercion does not mean like things like jokes or something that is done very casually would not be considered as coercion, because at the end of it, we look at the impact on the person who is at the receiving and whether or not something would threaten them or not threaten them. So if any acts would fall under any of these categories, then that act would be sexual harassment, be it online or offline.
So when we look at the most recent incident that sparked today's conversation, the kinds of remarks that various people are posting or commenting on the 17-year-old girl, does that fall under online sexual harassment?
For sure, Sharmila, but I would argue that it would potentially also constitute a bunch of other things like cyberbullying. Some of it are just downright threats and things like that. But since we're focusing on sexual harassment, yes, it is. And I want to highlight here that when we look at sexual harassment, we look at three main ingredients in the action itself, right? A, it is unwanted. B, it is sexual in nature. And C, it has a negative impact on the victim. And when we talk about something that is unwanted, of course, we are discussing the element of consent here. That means that this person do not consent to these actions, jokes, comments being made about their bodies or how they look like and things like that. I also want to add, Sharmila, to the fact that sometimes as a society, it's so hard for us to label something as sexual harassment because it comes with such heavy negative connotations. But we see people describe things as a this person is so creepy, or she's so gatal, or he's so miang, or this is so inappropriate. We use words like that to describe things that are obviously sexual harassment, because we also have to acknowledge that the term sexual harassment in Malaysia right now, it's loaded. A lot of people are uncomfortable with it. But I would say that yes, those actions would constitute as sexual harassment.
And how common is this online? What sorts of platforms does it usually take place on?
How common? We don't have actual data on this because, you know, data on sexual harassment is not comprehensive in Malaysia. But if I can speak anecdotally speaking, yes, it is common because we see it in comment sections. We see it on Twitter. We see it in, you know, so I would say that it is most common in social media. But it's also important to acknowledge that some of this also happen in private groups, you know, in like Facebook groups where people feel comfortable with each other and therefore they say things like, oh, I would like to do this to a 17-year-old girl, or yes, I would do that too. I would tap this, I would tap that, right? So I think social media for sure, if we're talking about online, but also when we talk about the younger generation, there's also like platforms like Discord, for example, where people are, you know, chatting over a game and things like that. So we have seen cases of, you know, comments being made on those platforms.
Now, I did want to draw this distinction that many people seem to make between quote unquote real life and online, right? Given that we already find it so difficult to deal with these sorts of harassment in quote unquote real life, is it being taken seriously enough when it happens online?
Well, it's not even taken seriously enough if it happens in physical context, right? And I think the challenge is sort of like compounded when we talk about it happening on social media or online. And I would like to point out here, why do I say that it is not enough? Why do I say that we're not taking it seriously, right? So I'm judging it based on a few factors. So for example, when we look at responses by authority figures, in response to people complaining and speaking up about sexual harassment, I'm pretty sure we all have seen screenshots of messages where this student talked to her counselors, talked to other teachers, talked to friends, and the sort of like responses that she got on those platforms are very, very heartbreaking. It shows that people are just not taken seriously. She's being accused of being too emotional. She's being accused of things like, maybe if this was said to a bunch of boys, they wouldn't have a problem with it. But because you're a girl, you know, you're emotional about these kind of things. So those reactions and the way we act to sexual harassment and to people who speak up shows that we're not taking it seriously.
And what is it about the about social media and the online space particularly that encourages particular ways of behaving or harassment?
I want to say anonymity is definitely a part of it, but we also see people with like real accounts and their jobs listed there, you know, also making similar comments. So I think, yes, some people hide behind the veil of anonymity to take, you know, I guess, refuge against comments that are inappropriate. But I think generally speaking, probably it's a lot easier for people to just say things when they're, you know, behind the screen, when they lack that face-to-face human interaction. And I always like to make this example, like, you know, it's a lot easier to be angry at someone when you're texting and arguing over WhatsApp, for example, as opposed to say exactly what you're saying over WhatsApp to another person face-to-face. So I think that sort of like, it's a similar thing when you talk about, you know, making inappropriate and sexual harassment type comment and jokes on social media.
So that's the thing, right? One of the responses that we frequently hear is that these are just comments and that they won't translate into actions offline. What are your thoughts on this?
Okay, first of all, sexual harassment do not need to be translated into a physical act for it to be wrong. Sexual harassment is wrong if it happens in a comment section, if you draw something, if it's said in an email. All of those things are still sexual harassment. So therefore, the argument, if someone were to say that, oh, it's not serious, it's just a comment, it's not like it's going to translate into action, shows that A, this person doesn't really understand what sexual harassment is, and B, again, this cognitive dissonance that I can say, but, you know, it's okay in that context, but it's not like I'm going to act on it, right? So I think for sure it is not acceptable on any level. I also want to emphasize here that sexual harassment is not just something that, you know, has to be overtly sexual or overtly direct, for example. So we look at comments that are insinuations, that are not direct, innuendos, for example. So those things are sufficient to be considered and to be dealt as sexual harassment as well.
based on what we know, particularly when it comes to comments or behavior online, how much risk is there for online harassment to progress into offline harassment?
Again, no data here, but personally speaking, we've investigated a couple of cases where it starts online and then, you know, people become, this is definitely the wrong word, but braver, in the sense that it escalates, you know, it becomes something a lot worse. We've also seen cases where usually sexual harassment does not happen, you know, one time. By the time it comes out on social media, there's all usually already a trend of it already happening. So this suggests that usually it is not, it is something that is built up over time. People will become more forward in the kind of things that they say and things like that. So yes, I would say that in this situation, we can see that trend happening. And for whatever reasons, when it happens in that context, this makes it so much more important for us when we talk about sexual harassment to look at stories from other people as well. So what's alarming for me is that when this student came up, the first question that we should be asking ourselves is how many other students are being subjected to this kind of comments, this kind of treatment? Because if this happens to one student, then we cannot go, you know, to sleep at night saying that this is just a one-off case. It's not a big issue, right? So definitely this is, you know, symptomatic of a bigger issue at hand, of the entirety of the way we train our teachers, we sensitize our teachers, the way we allow discussions to be made in schools as well. So I think all of this point to a larger systemic problem that we are facing.
What is the impact of all of this on the person being targeted?
I'm not a psychologist, but generally speaking, we have seen victims being severely impacted emotionally because they are at the receiving end of comments like these, you know, rape jokes, you know, victim blaming comments. And when you talk about sexual harassment, it's not just an act of harassing someone sexually. We're also talking about things like violation of someone's consent. We're also talking about things like bullying someone or pressuring someone into talking about sex, for example. So in all of these circumstances and cases that we have seen, the victims become, you know, they feel like they are not safe. They feel like they are not welcome. They feel like this is not a space where they can thrive. If it's in the context of a school, I'm not sure how you can learn in an environment where you constantly have to look out and feel unsafe, you know. And similarly, even in any other context, in public spaces, in workplaces, it affects someone's ability to study, to do work, to be productive, to form healthy, meaningful relationships with other people around them. So those are indicators that this impacts them in a very, very large way.
Amelia, we have just about a minute left. I wanted to ask, what needs to be done to prevent these sorts of things from happening?
On top of my head, I would say that we definitely need to put in place a mechanism that A, allows people to lodge a complaint. So for example, this student shouldn't have go to you know, social media to air out her grievances. She should be able to actually lodge a proper complaint mechanism. So that's A, very important. B, proper procedures that deal with these complaints. How is it going to be investigated? What are the principles? What actions are to be taken? C, we need to talk about accountability measures. Teachers or people in positions of authorities who make these kind of comments cannot be let go without any kind of accountability measure. So that's important too. And finally, I really want to highlight this again. Sensitization training is important, not just for teachers, but for any individuals who deal with students and children, particularly those below the age of consent. And we need to put all of this in place in order for us to even begin to deal with sexual harassment in our society, which is a serious matter. So I hope the Ministry of Education will look into this seriously as well.
Amelia, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much, Ramila.
That was Amelia Sharif, Managing Partner at Speak Up Malaysia. And we've been asking you whether you or someone you know has been harassed online. Share your experiences with us. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up, we'll be looking at the measures in place to deal with this. We'll be speaking with Serene Lim, Partner Director at Chris Network. Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. We're talking about online sexual harassment. This is following the recent spate of lewd comments that have been targeting 17-year-old Ayn Husniza following her own exposing of comments that were passed in her classroom by her teacher. And so we have been asking you whether you know someone who has been harassed online and how did you deal with it? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And earlier we heard from Amelia Sharif, Managing Partner at Speak Up Malaysia, about the challenges when it comes to sexual harassment online and why it's made particularly difficult because we already don't take this issue seriously enough. And now to look at the current measures that we have in place to deal with sexual harassment online, we're now joined by Serene Lim, Partner Director at Chris Network. Serene, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
So to start with, do we have a clear definition of online sexual harassment?
So whether it's online or offline, the definitions for sexual harassment should be the same. It is, I mean, we are looking at the same sort of violating behaviors, but it manifests and take place on digital space. The only difference is that it is done through digital platforms, and when it's online, it adds elements of three elements, I would say. So the first is persistency, because once the comments is there, right, the internet never forgets, and it's really, really hard to have it removed. And second is duplicity. People can very easily screenshot, download, and re-upload to multiple platforms. And the last one is scalability. The contents will reach a much wider audience, and it really opens up possibilities for more attacks as well.
So at the moment, what sorts of avenues do we have for reporting incidences of harassment, sexual harassment online?
So there are laws that actually address these issues. But the challenge is that when survivors do go to police stations to lodge reports, these are not taken seriously. What Amelia said earlier, right? Like as it is, sexual harassment is not taken seriously. What more when it's done online? We have heard cases of survivors making reports of rape and death threats, and it wasn't taken seriously by the police officers. They just presume that women can just lock off and, you know, forget about this.
And what specifically are those laws that cover this?
Well, we do have provisions under the penal codes that covers blackmailings, extortions, criminal intimidations. And we also have sections 233 of the Communications and Multimedia Act. It has been used to cover cases of non-consensual disseminations of intimate images.
And what about the online platforms themselves? You know, they do have guidelines and reporting mechanisms. Are these sufficient to address this issue?
Well, in the cases that we have documents, right, survivors actually, they are more likely to report the harassments to platforms instead of going to the police officers. And the responses so far differ, and it actually based on your case, whether it fits squarely within the so-called community standard. In cases where it's clearly a rape or death threats, they are more likely to take actions. In cases where it is less clear or it's more ambiguous, or maybe it's done in a different language other than English, platforms are less likely to be responsive or to do any or to take any actions. And I think another biggest hurdle is perhaps the speed of response as well, right? Especially when we are looking at cases of mob attacks like the Ayn case. The harassment sort of needs to be addressed within the next minutes before it is escalated to a nationwide mob attacks. And when it is done at that scale, right, it is really, really hard to have it removed because so many people have seen it, and it would have been too late to have it removed anyway.
Have cases like this ever been taken to court?
Well, we have seen cases where it is disseminations of nude photos. We have seen it being people being criminalized under penal codes or the Communications and Multimedia Act. But it is somewhat problematic because the provisions criminalizes the act of distributions of obscene materials. So in this sense, women's nude photos are deemed as obscene. But the crux of the issues is really violations of privacy and consent, and also the act of unauthorized distributions. But so far, to my knowledge, I've not heard of a case where individuals are charged for online sexual harassment.
And there have been continuous calls for the anti-sexual harassment bill to be tabled in Parliament. Mm. From what you know, would this bill address online sexual harassment?
Yes, I believe so. Sexual harassment is sexual harassment. It doesn't matter whether it takes place online or offline.
Mm. And besides having better laws, what are the other things that need to be addressed to prevent these sorts of things from happening and to address them when they take place?
We definitely need better policy that will address the root cause of online sexual harassment, which are, understanding of gender roles, understanding gender-based violence, sexism, and patriarchies. And I think one of the urgent things that we need to do right now is actually to have inter-ministerial dialogues on these issues. So to include Ministry of Women, Ministry of Education, MCMCs, and civil societies who have been working with survivors and victims on this issue.
Serene, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Serene Lim, Partner Director at CRIS Network, speaking to us about the mechanisms we have in place to deal with sexual harassment online and what more needs to be done. Coming up, we'll hear from Sumitra Selvaraj, who is a social media personality who has been using her platform to call out online harassers. So we want to know whether you or someone you know have experiences being harassed online. How did you deal with it? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9. It is 6:46. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. Today, we're talking about online sexual harassment, and this is coming on the wake of the awful responses and comments that 17-year-old Ayn Husniza has been getting over the last week or so. And earlier, we heard about the challenges when it comes to addressing sexual harassment in general and extending that to the online space. We also heard about the mechanisms that we have in place and really a lot of the work that needs to be done to actually make this helpful to people who are facing online sexual harassment. And we want to know, have you or someone you know been harassed online, and how did you deal with it? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have now joining us Sumitra Selvaraj, who is a writer, a social media personality, and someone who actively makes a point of calling out harassment when it happens online. Sumitra, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Sharmila.
So, as I said, you share and speak a lot on your social media about online sexual harassment, and you actively call out these people. What made you start doing this?
When I first joined Instagram 5 years ago, you know, for the first couple of years, I did exactly what I think the majority of us did. You know, I saw a lot of unwanted, unwelcomed attention sliding in through my DMs, and I just used to do the deleting and blocking. A couple of years in, so this was about 3 years back, I had a really tough day at work, and I remember coming out of the studio where I worked in, and I checked my messages, and there was a DM from a stranger, you know, who said something along the lines of, oh, you know, your hips are really built for wearing saris. And I don't know what it was about that particular day or that particular message, but something just kind of snapped inside me. And I wrote back to him and I said, listen, I'm a stranger. And I said exactly this, listen, I'm a stranger, and I don't appreciate what you're saying to me. And he came back almost immediately with the response, ha ha, what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And that just it set me off. Within half an hour, he happened to have a public profile. And, you know, within half an hour, I found out that he worked with a particular shipping company in Mumbai, because I cross-referenced, you know, his name with LinkedIn and found out the logo on his T-shirt was, you know, affiliated with this company, people that he worked with, whatever. And I sent a letter to the human resource department of the company that he worked with. And I said, listen, you know, I just want you to know that one of your staff members has sent this message to me. And I sent him the screenshots. And I said, I don't appreciate it. I said, and I need you to know. I said, I don't need an apology, but I want you to know. I didn't expect anything to come out of it. But within a couple of hours, fair play to them, the HR department wrote back to me and said, we're really, really sorry that this happened. And we're going to have a word with him. And we will make sure that he doesn't have access to social media anymore, certainly during work time. And that was the start of it. You know, I suppose I didn't really realize that it would be possible to speak up and get a resolution.
I just want to get a sense of how frequently this happens. I mean, you have a large following on Instagram, but I was curious as to how frequently you encounter this sort of harassment.
In the first kind of couple of years, I would say it would average between 50 to 100 messages a day. And then it would taper off. And then I've found that, you know, over the last couple of years or so, it's maybe about 10 messages every 2 days or so. Certainly the lockdown hasn't helped in any way, shape or form. If anything, it has encouraged a lot of them to slither out from the woodwork.
Mm. And you often share methods and sort of steps in which people can report and call out people.
Yes.
Could you share those with us?
Well, I operate very specifically on Instagram. And with Instagram, it's actually quite easy to report a message or a chat. But the community guidelines that are that govern Instagram's content are dicey, to say the least, you know. So what you can do is you can report a specific message that comes into you, and you can report a chat. But a lot of the time, the knee-jerk reaction, when women especially get, you know, messages, they try and report accounts, but the account technically hasn't done anything wrong. The account, usually in my, you know, experience, has just been posting nothing but photographs of bouquets of flowers and photographs of babies and photographs of deities and nothing else. So there's nothing wrong with the account. It's the content that they send you on a personal one-to-one basis in your DMs. So that's what you need to report. If you want to be able to take it one step further, and you know that the person that, you know, who's kind of harassing you is within the same locality as you, the same country, the other thing that you can do is, of course, take screenshots and look for what who the local authority is in your country. In our case, it would be the MCMC.
What would you say are the main challenges when it comes to dealing with sexual harassment on social media?
Exactly the same as it comes to dealing with harassment of social media. The fact that, you know, I get a lot of comments saying, well, you know, if you don't want the attention, you shouldn't be on social media. Or if you don't want to get harassed, you shouldn't have a public profile. But this completely kind of draws the conversation away from the fact that the person who is sending you a message that is, you know, violent or harassing in nature is the one committing the crime. You being on social media and expressing yourself through whatever means that you want cannot be the crime.
Have you had to deal with the worry that you might get some form of retaliation after you call out their actions?
No. The majority, if not, you know, 100% of the kind of the messages of a sexual harassment nature that I get come from a different country. So, you know, I really don't feel that there's any kind of real threat. But, you know, Sharmila, even if it came down to the fact that somebody tried to hurt me for speaking up against sexual harassment, I think that's just one more tick in the column that we should be focusing on the crime here.
Mm. Now, when it comes to the fact that you've been doing this and you've been doing this publicly, what has been some of the responses that you've been getting from your followers and particularly from other women?
So at first, when I first started doing this, I'll admit a lot of the women who used to write to me used to say, you know, this isn't worth it. This is a waste of time. You know, you can't change the way people think. You can't do this by yourself. And that was from the women, right? And I used to write to them and say, I'm not doing this in the hopes that it will change anything for me. I'm doing this in the hopes that it will change something for your daughters, perhaps 10 years down the line, that, you know, if we continue speaking up, there will be change affected. There were many men who used to write to me, you know, when I first started doing this, and they accused me of kind of, you know, throwing an unfair spotlight on their gender, and that, you know, of course, the not all men argument kept on coming up again and again. And my response to that has been the same, and it's the same even today. Enough men out there send these sort of messages to women. What are we going to do about them?
What about women who are being targeted online, who receive sexual harassment? What advice would you give them?
Well, it's not an easy process. It's not easy to be able to kind of take this on. You know, it takes a lot of mental headspace. It takes a lot of energy. It can be very draining. If you choose to do this, the smartest way of going about it is to document. So if somebody has sent you a threatening message or a picture that's, you know, awful, what you need to do is you need to be able to take screenshots. You need to be able to take as many screenshots as you can of their profile as well. These are the bits of information that will help the authorities who you report the case to kind of help you. So documentation, first and foremost, it's what's going to help you if you choose to take this on.
And finally, just a larger picture question. What more do you think needs to be done to curb, sexual harassment in general, and particularly online sexual harassment?
I think it needs to come to the point where we definitely need stronger legislation. But we don't need stronger messages. We need stronger action from people in power. You know, every time we have a situation like this, you know, there's a bit of a kerfuffle and everybody says, oh, you know, well, young girls and women should not have to be subject to behavior like this. Yes, we know that. We are absolutely aware that they should not be subject to behavior like this. We all know that rape jokes are not acceptable. We know that, you know, we need to make schools safer. But what is being done about it? That's a question that we need to ask our elected representatives and, dare I say, perhaps the new incoming IGP of police.
Sumitra, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me, Sharmila.
That was writer and social media personality Sumitra Selvaraj sharing her own experiences with sexual harassment online and how she's been making a practice of calling them out. And so let us know your own experiences. Have you or someone you know been harassed online? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now, just to close off this segment, a song that I think we all sorely need. Aretha Franklin, Demanding Respect. Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.